What was it that brought you back to Monroe?
It worked out to be one of those things where multiple options presented, but it just seemed like those options just weren't going to work out the way that we thought they would. And our actual intent was to come back here probably for a year so I could finish my dissertation from the University of Arkansas. And so 1 year has turned into 17 now, or 16 anyway. Our families are here. It really was a blessing for me. I was able to spend good quality time with my parents in their last years, and now my wife's parents are getting older, and so it's good quality time that we're able to spend. So it's been a blessing to be back.
Of that 19 years that you were working in other industries, in a variety of different industries, how does your field really translate across what people would normally think of different kinds of businesses?
Okay. I worked in the area of human resource management, and it doesn't really matter that much if you are in transportation versus healthcare versus manufacturing versus broadcasting versus whatever. The aspects of human resource management generally are the same across industries. We refer to that in the trade as transferable skills. I worked in the human resource area for many of the years that I was in private business. It worked out well because discrimination is discrimination regardless of what industry you're in.
I've also seen you do some work with, it was listed as dysfunctional employee behaviors.
The thing that I became interested in a number of years ago were looking at dysfunctional behaviors in the workplace. Specifically, I have been blessed with ADHD in my life, so I've kind of lived through a lot of that. And so some of the interest areas were, you know, why do people say get involved with drugs, or why they get involved with alcohol at workplace. What about people who don't fit in exactly 100% like the norm that you would expect? So it's just been an area of fascination as much as anything that I've been involved with. I've done some papers, a couple of papers years ago on ADHD in the workplace and coping, mainly coping behaviors that go along with it. So it's just been an interest area.
What are some sorts of things that ADHD brings to the workplace?
Well, typically ADHD people, I'm the exception, but typically most ADHD people are very bright, okay? Generally very highly creative. Generally, they are good in the sense that a lot of times ADHD people see the world a lot differently than do others. And so what you may have a situation, maybe you have a huge problem, and you have a bunch of different people looking at this problem. But everybody's tend to look at that problem based on the boxes that they built around themselves. Now, I have a box around me from the standpoint that I'm a business, have a business background. Others may have a box around them because of their background. Well, ADHD people, a lot of times, being pretty creative, sometimes can see things a lot differently. And if people are willing to listen and consider possibilities of that, sometimes you can get some very interesting and creative solutions or potential solutions that could address a problem that you may have.
What are some things you see in human resource management that have changed over the period of time that you've been in the field?
I guess some of the biggest things has been really looking at, I'll call it tolerance levels. When I first entered the field, it was really about 1980, and you never heard much, if anything, about sexual harassment or racial. You know, you would hear a lot about racial harassment, but in issues of sexual harassment and respect in the workplace, those were not a lot of subjects you heard a lot about. And it really wasn't until the 80s and then into the 90s when you really started seeing the EEOC get involved in issues of sexual harassment. And so what I've seen in the workplace is because of litigation, because of people really developing a greater awareness of some of the issues, I think you, at some levels, you have more tolerance of things in the workplace, especially when it comes to, say, issues of women, women's rights, and some of the really complex issues that women face in the workplace. I think people have more respect and understanding of those. I mean, it's still not where it needs to be, but people do have a lot more awareness of that now. I would say that was probably one of the biggest areas.
Part of what faculty at the University of Louisiana at Monroe are encouraged to do is to be involved with the community. And you do that with a number of different ways. First of all, I want to ask a little bit about, you said that you'd done well in some fun student polls. What is it that makes you a fun professor?
I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, when you called me and asked me to do this, I was very flattered and had no idea why you asked me. But anyway, we just in the College of Business a number of years ago had just some different fun things, and like a faculty member that most resembles a student. Well, obviously with my gray hair, I didn't come close in that. It was all very flattering. The thing that I try very hard to do in a class and with my students is, having been in the classroom also, I guess a lot of my style and a lot of the ways I approach things, I've learned what to do and what not to do based on professors that I've really respected or those that I really didn't care for. And so I've tried to emulate those things in the classroom. But the thing I guess I found in terms of students, and I'll use just an old saying, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that goes a long way, because and that means a lot. Number one, actually having the empathy for the students. But I think another thing that I'm really very passionate about with students is you treat a student with dignity and respect, and you do not belittle them. You do not do, I mean, you treat a student just like a colleague in terms of a relationship, because, I mean, that's just respect. I never viewed myself as this great, you know, whatever, but I mean, I think that's just something that students or really anybody can really identify with and relate to and appreciate, to have somebody treat them the way they would like to be treated.
So what sort of things are you involved with in the community?
Oh, different things. First, one of my passions, I'm on the board of directors for the Wesley Foundation here at the university. Just a lot of neat people involved with that ministry. Second thing is I do some outside business stuff, and I end up, I think, volunteering more than I do actual getting paid for it. But I've worked with an area community, working with them on helping them develop their management skills. I have worked with a community city, actually, after they were under court decree from the Department of Justice over sexual harassment and racial harassment-related issues. So I do awareness programs for them. I have worked with the airport developing a strategic plan for the Monroe Airport that we can kind of build with and grow with this new airport. There's several other groups I've been involved with. One of the fun things I've done for years is give back to the school where my children have gone. My wife teaches and my children attended River Oaks School. It's just been a big part of our lives. Well, when my youngest was a junior, I started being the PA announcer at the home varsity football games. I've been trying to get out of it now for about the last 7 years, and they can't seem to find a replacement. But that's something I've really enjoyed, because that's just a way of giving back. That school has meant so much to our family. I know a lot of families around here that in just some small way I can give back a little bit. And I just enjoy doing that.
You mentioned working with Ron Phillips. A lot of people have said a lot of different things in the neighborhood of where that airport is going to go. Yes, it's the new airport. Yes, there's still the construction phases to be done. What does the long-term plan look like? Can you give us a peek?
A lot of it, we're still running through city council and all, but the thing is, and I want to put a perspective to it, if you would. I don't want to go dig up the past or anything like that. But if you look at that airport, you're probably looking, with the new terminal and with all the land, you're looking at an asset maybe valued at $50 to $60 million. If you look at the amount of revenue taken in by that airport over the last 10 years on average, you're looking at a very underperforming asset. There are a lot of rooms for growth, a lot of growth areas for private pilots being here. You're seeing people like CenturyLink expand, and so they have private airplanes, so you've got a lot of potential growth in that. The revenue and passenger miles is something that probably the airport has less control over as opposed to some of these other things. And I think I think the world of Ron Phillips. He has a marketing background. And so Ron is trying hard to really get the community involved in this and really get a lot of support for the Monroe Airport in terms of really doing more out of the airport, having more social-related things out at the airport. That industrial park out there represents a huge potential for revenues for the city. This airport is a gem. I get really aggravated in reading the paper with the people writing the letters in, well, they lost my bags and, you know, and all that. I mean, that's a real gem out there, and if people will just give the new airport a chance and let's get through the construction, I think this is an airport they're going to be very, very proud of.
Dr. Bruce Walker is the program chair for management here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe, speaking with us as part of our profile series. Dr. Walker, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.